Welcome to episode 7 of the Darling and Darling podcast. I'm Simi and with me is Tim, and today we're going to talk about reading. So Tim, why do you read?
I think you could answer that question in hours, but I will try to keep it short. I think I read because, like, first of all, for the audience to know that most of the books I read are nonfiction, and the reason for me to read them are because I want to improve myself or I want to learn about specific topics. And now you might think, well, you can also use like book summaries, for example, or you can watch videos on YouTube. Why would I spend money on books and why would I invest the time to read through the whole books if I can just get summaries free on the internet? And I would say it's just not the same, and it doesn't have the same impact on your lives if you just get the cheap version of that knowledge, I would say, because a book is just something, for me especially with nonfiction books, when you learn about new concepts, for example, I feel like that's something that each book changes me a little bit. And I think I would say that's the reason why I read books, because I want to change myself, I want to get better, I want to learn something, and with each book I read, I can change myself a little bit and improve a little bit. So Simi, what is your reason to read?
I just love reading. I mean, it's just a great hobby of mine. I really, really, really love it. And I'm more of a fiction reader. Like, here and there I also read nonfiction books, but like, I'm the one who reads the most fiction out of the two of us. And I really love just being in other worlds and like being in so many different universes and situations and, yeah, just going on adventures and having that possibility to see parts of the world I've never been to or be in worlds that don't even exist. That's just a great pleasure of mine to explore there.
I think that's really interesting. What I personally also really like about fiction is the thing that you said with the different places, the different worlds, the universes. But I think a big aspect is also the different characters, that you just meet such a variety of different people, different characters, and it feels like you can interact with them, even though they might not even exist in reality.
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes they don't exist in reality. And yeah, it's just a great way to also learn about interactions, to learn about struggles, and to learn about how to conquer struggles and how to overcome them and what they do in their day-to-day life to get by.
Yes, and we can also be entertained by these books that we read. Both fiction and non-fiction can be really entertaining in my experience.
Yeah, that's true. And you also learn from both. Like, non-fiction, I mean, I think that's pretty obvious that you learn something from non-fiction, because it's just about the topics you read. Like, if you read about self-improving and stuff, you learn about strategies and stuff like that. And also other non-fiction books. Like, we have some here which are like historical non-fiction books, like memoirs or diaries or something like that. And you can also learn so much from that because, yeah, you just get a glimpse of their lives and what they did and how they survived or how they got through difficult periods of times or something like that. So I think it's more obvious that you can learn from non-fiction. I think with fiction, it's more underlying, I would say. It's in the way the stories are constructed, yet you always learn something. You learn about characters and the dynamics of people or families. You learn about when, I don't know, governments are corrupt, how they overthrow that. They learn about what real friendship means, but it's more in the lines between than like pretty obvious, I would say.
And I think in both genres you can find people to look up to. For example, with nonfiction, I have many authors that I look up to and that just describe great things in their book and great concepts. So I look up to these authors and want to get more of their knowledge and want to adopt more of their techniques. But I think you can also from fiction get people and characters to look up to, even if they are fictional, because sometimes there are just some characters that you really adore because they have great characteristics. For example, when maybe in the way they treat other people, maybe in the tolerance they have, or maybe in the way they solve problems, in the way they encounter other people, in the way they won't give in to adversity. Maybe that's something you can look up to, and you can also find those people and those examples in fiction books.
Yeah, that's actually true. So, how do you read?
I usually don't read like in big chunks. So I usually don't sit there for hours and read through whole books. I usually, like, especially in the morning when I get up early. If you have not yet done so, you can also check out our episode number 6, where we talk about morning routine. There I also talk a bit about reading, so you might want to check that out. That's the time where I do most of my reading. So it's depending on the time I have in the morning. It's sometimes just a few minutes I read something, and sometimes I also sit there for 1 or 2 hours reading. But interestingly enough, I usually don't read one book for 2 hours then, but sometimes I read or I continue reading 3 or 4 different ones within these 2 hours. So I usually stay with one book for, let's say, 10 to 30 minutes. And if I have more time, then I just make progress in several books. When and how do you read, Zimi?
Bit difficult to answer. There's not a straight answer for that. Depends. When I'm really in a mood for reading, you can catch me reading almost everywhere. Like, there were times also with like books. It also depends on the book, how fast-paced it is, how much it just pulls me in, that I was also reading that book while cooking, for example. Or I was taking that book everywhere with me. Like when we were in the car for like 5 minutes, I was reading the 5 minutes. And so you can catch me almost everywhere while reading. And I also really like just sitting somewhere for hours and hours on end and reading. I also really like readathons and stuff like that. We did it sometimes with a friend of ours, that we just sit together and read for a couple of hours. Or sometimes was also when we were sick or something like that, or in the pandemic, that you can just read for hours. So I really, really like doing that. And I really like being in multiple books at once. There was a time when I was trying to avoid it, where I was trying to start one book and finish one book, and then by accident I started 3 new ones. So I'm always in more than just one book, but at some point one book will take over, and then I really want to read that one, and then I finish that one, and then I go over to the next one. Yeah, and I'm also a really big mood reader, so it can be that I have 4 or 5 books running, or like I'm in the middle of it, and then I find a fifth or sixth one, and I'm like, oh yeah, that one sounds really nice. I will start that now. And then I will just read that in one go. And then I will come back to the others. So that can also be, I'm a really, yeah, I'm not a structured reader, actually. Do you also annotate your books, or do you just like read them and don't do anything with them? Like, how do you like your books afterwards? Do they have to be read, or do they have to look squeaky clean without anything in them, on them, around them?
For me, books are objects that are supposed to serve me. So I don't want to have to take care to treat them extremely nicely, to not leave any signs on them that one could guess that it has already been read. I really like to annotate them. I also really like to underline and mark different passages that I really like. I used to handle that differently. With the first books I read, I didn't do that at all. Then it first started with like putting post-its in, but keeping everything removable, so not underlining anything. And then with the last few books I read, I realized that it just makes sense to underline, because when you want to go back to the passages you liked, and when you just want to find something that you found helpful and that you want to use again and that you want to just get back into your mind, then it just makes sense to have it underlined. And also now, when I go through the books I've read, it just feels way more familiar when I have it underlined. It somehow feels like getting home, you know? It feels like, oh, I've been here already and I know that. And sometimes when I look at books where I haven't done anything like that, it feels a little bit sad that I didn't leave any signs there. So I really enjoy doing that. And yeah, I'm experimenting with different techniques, also like different colors that I can use in underlining. But in general, I don't need a book that looks perfect. I want to take care to, yeah, treat a book that I get the value out of it, and not that I serve the book, so to say. How about you? How do you like your books?
Oh, I really like to annotate them. Like in the beginning also of my, like in the beginning of my reading journey, I also didn't really like it. I read when I was a child, and there the books had to be flawless afterwards. But then when I started to read again as an adult, I tapped, but I kept it removable. Like I used pencil and just normal tabs, so I could just go there with an eraser and be like, okay, I can put it away. And then at some point I started to use a pen, which you can also erase, because it just was easier for me to use it and then be able to, yeah, put marks away or something when I made mistakes. At this point, I like to just use different colors and just annotate everything out of the book. And I also really like to go back to it, like, because there are really favorite quotes and stuff like that. And also when you reread it, which I quite often do with books I really liked, that it, yeah, it's true. It's like you said, it's like coming home. It's like you remember when you read that the first time or the second time or the third time, I don't know. And you just come back to the same spot and you were like, wait a minute, the last time I was here, I had the same question. Or the last time, oh yeah, I really like that, what's happening here. And that's just so nice, because it's like coming back to the world, but also coming back to a former part of yourself.
We also wanted to show some of our favorite books here. Simi, do you want to start introducing some of your books to us?
Yeah, I'm in general a person, I have many favorite books or books I really like, but yeah, I try to concise them really much. So the first book I have here is actually the book that got me back into reading again, and I really like it, and yeah, it just stuck with me and it stayed a favorite of mine for the whole journey I started as an adult, and that's The Violet Theory by Elodie Iver. And it's fantasy, of course, what else? And it's about, like, it's a fantasy but in dystopian, and yeah, it has pirates in them and it has conspiracies in them and it has an adventure journey in them. So I really, really like that. Another one is The Ballad of Chilcot Delahay from Bryony Cameron. It's about a pirate, again, and it's a bit like a historical fiction, I would say. And it's about this female pirate who is not really known that much. And she lived like in the around Jamaica and stuff. And it's about the actual person. But since not so much is known about her, the author took the liberty to just fill in the gaps and make it a really nice and crapping story. So I also really like that. And lastly, we have here The Christmas Saurus by Tom Fletcher. That's a Christmas book, but also middle grade. And it's really nice because I love dinosaurs and the Christmas bliss and Christmas wonder and magic is in this book, and I really liked reading that. We did a tandem read, Tim and I, for that one, and we took turns reading it to each other, and it was really fun, and it captured it so perfectly, so that also is one of my favorites. How about you, Tim? What favorites do you have?
First of all, I want to explain what it means to me to have a favorite book, because I think I might value something different than you do. And how I came up with I thought about what does it mean to be a favorite book. And I had that thought, like I said in the beginning, each book is supposed to change me a little bit. That's what I want to achieve with reading. And when I look back on especially the last few years where I started reading and where I read a lot, especially nonfiction, then I imagine it a little bit like a stairway. And with each book I read, it was just a small step higher. And then there are some steps that didn't make that much of a difference. And other steps I can see, they really changed my mindset. They changed paradigms I've had. They might even have changed the way I live, the way I look at life. And so when I say my favorite book, that doesn't mean that I might not even would want to reread that book. But what I mean with that is that my favorite books are the ones that changed me the most when I first read them and when I look back on my life that way. So the first book that came to mind is Atomic Habits by James Clear. And that was one of the first nonfiction books I've ever read. And it was the first one I read in English. So that was something really special. And it just got me started with this whole topic on small habits and stacking them and how to create lasting change in your life. And many concepts are just stuck with me. And I still incorporate them today when I make changes in my everyday life. So that's definitely one of my favorite books because it just had a great impact on my life. And the second book that I want to talk about real quick is called Hidden Potential by Adam Grant. And this one is really amazing because it's not that much about concrete techniques that you can implement, but it's rather about different paradigms, different mindsets, different perspectives on the world. And I really like books like that because I can just see that in my everyday life, in different situations, I just have a completely different perspective on them because I read about that and I've heard different examples So that's also something that I would say changed my life, because on so many things I just got a different perspective. And even though maybe in the short term there weren't that many tactics I could immediately implement, over the long run those tiny paradigm shifts made a great impact on my life. So that book is also one of my favorites.
That's so interesting, because I think we have a similar understanding of what our favorites are, but I think you choose your favorites more wisely, or more, you know, you have more to them. And sometimes for me, it's just, if I really like the book, it's one of my favorites. So yeah, we want to wrap this episode up, and we want to give you some of our key takeaways.
One thing that is really important to us is that reading and books are not outdated. That's something that is often discussed nowadays, and we are convinced that nothing of the modern technology can replace books and can replace the value that it can have in your lives. So our first key takeaway is books are not outdated, and we highly recommend, even if you are not into books, if you can't understand the value of it, you find it too time consuming, maybe too expensive, we just recommend find a nice book for you and try it out. And we are convinced that you will be surprised by the results. And the other key takeaway, we talked a lot about fiction and nonfiction here. And what we want to convey is that from both genres, you can both learn and you can enjoy both of them. No matter whether you want to learn something or whether you want to just enjoy reading, you don't have to focus on one genre only. You can also jump around between them, and you will find entertainment and you will find some knowledge to grasp everywhere where you can read.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to try them out. Don't be afraid to also go out of your comfort zone. And like, you could also put nonfiction, like in nonfiction there are multiple different genres, and in fiction there's also a lot of different genres out there, so just go out there and search for it. And there are also great quizzes out there where you can just put in what is your mood, what do you want to read about, and then they give you some examples of what you could read. So if you want to look at something like that you can just also try out to find new great reads. And then we have another writing prompt for you guys, and this time it's a journaling prompt again, and the question is, what do I want to read next? So you can just think about it and write down what are you in a mood for, and then you can go out and search for the books that fit to the things you want to read about.
Yes, so get out your journals. I think this question might seem easy, but I think it can be really exciting. And if you come up quickly with a short response, then go deeper, go beyond that, and look what you will find while journaling. So that's what we have prepared for you for today. We hope you enjoyed it, and we see you on our website and in our next episodes.
Until then, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, see you.